Buckeyes taking on Indiana coming off the bye.
The Hoosiers. What the bleep is a Hoosier?
What's that from? Did you make that up?
Nah, people used to make the sign back in the day, like for game day. Like, what the?
What is
a WTF is a Hoosier? It's a person who lives in Indiana.
And what is the definition of a? I know the movie. Sean, maybe he knows the answer.
It's a native of Indiana.
Is that what it is?
That's what a Hoosier is.
That's the okay. It's a
native
weird name.
Or inhabitant
trying to figure out what
of
a Hoosier was. Did you know what a Hoosier was, Sean?
I did, and he's right. That's the only thing I'd know about. I don't know what a Bonnie is, unless it's a flower, the St. Bonaventure Bonnie.
I don't know what that. I don't know what the hell that is. And I went to college right near that, but.
Right,
I don't know.
Is it shortened for St. Bonaventure? I was thinking about that weird, strangely enough, this morning. But yeah, a Hoosier is what said it was.
Yeah, all right, very good, Sean. Word coming down today that
Bonnie's
Baker
a mascot,
Mayfield.
By the way. It's a wolf.
Yeah,
it's a wolf.
Oh,
it's a
okay.
wolf.
There you go.
Yeah,
okay.
So there you go.
Doesn't sound very wolf-like.
Had to get that in there.
Right, a Bonnie? That doesn't sound like a wolf. But anyway, so Baker not playing. Case Keenum's going to be in there. We were saying yesterday, you know, the fact that Baker got hurt again. He just re-aggravated the injury 4 days ago, and tossing the fact that both Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb are not playing, maybe no tackles, maybe no Beckham, maybe no Landry. We thought it was wise to go with Keenum. Today they make that decision. Seems like the right call, don't you think, Sean?
I do, and I think it's the right call based on it's not like it Case Keenum at 100%, Baker, even if he was healthy enough to play at 80%. It's I want to give me the best chance to win, and I think that that's probably it. Case Keenum understands what Stefanski wants. This is no knock on Baker at all. And sometimes a little bit of rest and is good because we know he'd try to grind through it if they let him. And Case Keenum's been around Kevin and understands the offense. Sometimes a little change-up pitch is good and gives Baker a chance to go at it, and their team is beat up. That doesn't mean throw Case Keenum to the Wolves or let him take the punishment, but I assume as backup quarterbacks do in this league and a guy who started, meaning Case Keenum and any of us who've been in that position, you know, we don't care if you line up eight guys. We just want an opportunity to prove it, and I'm sure Case Keenum will do a fine job. And, you know, going back to last week, Baker at times did not play well, and I'm not saying that he's not being benched, but he's got to play better in certain situations before the injury, laying the ball on the ground, hero syndrome, trying to make plays. You guys know how I feel about him, and I love him.
We do.
But he's not above criticism, and he missed the throw and missed a couple, you know, can't lay the ball on the ground. And when you do that against good teams, you put yourself in a bind. But it's probably good for Baker to sit back and get himself healthy. They need him for the run, and they've got a solid backup that gives you a chance to win.
Sean, obviously this labrum's going to have to require surgery at some point. My question is how far do you play Baker with the pain? You play the rest of the season with the pain? Do you try to grind it out, or do you say at some point, hey, let's just have surgery now and try to get healthy for next year?
Yeah, Dust, it's on his opposite shoulder, if I'm not mistaken.
It is, correct? Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I'm just making sure that I didn't miss something.
No, you're good.
It's on his left shoulder. The reason why, too, I've had it. I've torn a labrum.
And did you have an operation?
I had an operation, but 3 years after the fact.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And it was post-career, ironically. I was actually in my home in Dallas, and I was, you know how you get out of the pool and you kind of just get out of a jog because your feet are hot? I slipped.
Oh,
honestly, guys, this isn't one of those, yeah, sure, Sean, you were drunk. I literally slipped, and I wish I had a better story for it. All the years you take the hits. And I was falling down, and I braced. The only thing that could catch was my left arm. And I fell down hard, and I braced, and I could hear it. I literally could hear
popped
it.
Popped out on you, huh?
And then all of a sudden, and I was in pain. You take meds and the rest of it. And I literally went 3 years and finally decided, honestly, that the pain or the pain meds, I said, I can't do this. This is nuts. I was able to go about my day, but sleeping was miserable. And the rest. And so I finally had surgery, and I can tell you this now, and I don't want to, you know, get anybody all alarmed, but the rehab sucks with a torn labrum. Mm. It is miserable.
How long does it take,
so,
Sean?
You know what? It took to feel good. I still at times, and maybe you know, you say, well, could you have rehabbed it harder? I think I rehabbed it hard enough. But there's times when I still, if it's in the wrong spot, can feel it. Mm. But it's just a matter of strengthening it. So, you know, if he gets surgery in the off season, he'll be ready to go by the season. But he can, with a torn labrum on your non-throwing shoulder, some even can do it on the throwing shoulder. It's only certain positions you get in that it's a bad thing. You know, if you put a little harness on it. But, the surgery would be smart to get eventually, but you can play with it, and it depends on – I went three and a half years. It just depends on your pain threshold and what you can do, and you'll be able to lift it to a certain point in certain areas. You can't quite go beyond, parallel. It depends on the levels for him, but you can play with it, and you can survive it, especially on your non-throwing shoulder. But at some point in time, if you want to sleep normal again, you will have to get pain if it's torn like mine was.
We're talking with Sean Salisbury, AM 790 in Houston, former NFL quarterback, of course. Sean, the Browns are in a tricky spot. The season's not gone how they expected, right? They're 3-3. The division's tougher than we thought because the Bengals are, and we'll see with the long run, but the Bengals, at the very least, are better than we thought. They might be a lot better than we thought. Obviously, the Ravens, they've had a lot of injuries too, and it hasn't affected them. They're 5-1, and the Steelers are playing decent football as well. You look at their schedule, the only really bad team on their schedule the rest of the way is Detroit. And if they, if they're not able to pull this one out tomorrow night against Denver, you're 3-4. I mean, they're in a little bit of trouble right now, don't you think?
Oh, of course. Yeah, of course I do. You look at, there's like you said, Cincinnati's not going away, guys. We talked about a culture change when Baker Mayfield turned things around in Cleveland. Some may still argue it, but how the culture, meaning a winning attitude and people start responding. Joe Burrow's doing the same thing in Cincinnati. He is. He's an impactful guy. They feel there's a different sense of when you walk out on the field in Cincinnati or on the road, you feel like you got a chance to win, that you're not going in as somebody's bye week. And that's that I can feel it, and I'm not even in Cincinnati. They've got some playmakers, and if they continue to build, it's going to be competitive. We know the Steelers are always, they hang around. They just do because they got guts. And you mentioned the injuries about Baltimore, guys. I think a lot of people said, oh, they're injured. They'll go away. How can Lamar do it? And this is the level, guys, I talk about on a regular basis. And you can put whoever you want in there according to your own opinion. Lamar Jackson's taken his game to another level.
Yes, he has.
The complaints about, can he beat you throwing it? Listen, we've all asked it. I've watched that guy make some unbelievable throws from the pocket. He has elevated backups in Baltimore. He is, you go all over the league and say, well, who does this and who does it? He has taken it to another level, and they are not allowing the injury excuse to creep in. Some cities do. I don't know what the buzz is in Cleveland locally. Well, we're hurt, then we shouldn't be winning. Yeah, that's not the approach. The approach has to be, we're hurt, we're going to win in spite of. And
that's right.
I hope that's the talk in the locker room and around the city, but Baltimore doesn't care, and the truth is they've always been able to elevate, and you've got a guy carrying a burden right now, meaning Lamar Jackson, about having to just imagine. I know quarterbacks are valuable in every city. I'm not sure there's a guy, a bigger workhorse than a guy that's counted upon more in his city, and I'm talking about Tampa, I'm talking about in L.A., I'm talking about in Arizona, more than the dude in Baltimore. Major respect for the way he's elevated his play, but yeah, it's dangerous, Bull. It is, and you don't want to be in a chase mode. That's why I always say September and October are so friggin' important. They're going to have to reach deep inside, and that's why a front office and coaching staff and preparing players, the backup, the quarterback, the backup tight end, the backup right tackle, the backup, the third running back, whatever it is, that's why they get paid, man. And I know it's not the same as having your starters like Tampa came into the season, but really nobody feels sorry for you. I think Baker mentioned nobody cares. Matter of fact, some people are going to feast on if you're feeling sorry for yourself. They hope you are. You don't have time to do it in the NFL. We don't have time. You get a bye week, and then you got to compete. All of them do at some point in the season. And it's time for the backups to earn pay, and it's time for the starters that if you're playing 8 out of 10, you need to play like a 9. You need to play like a 9.2. That's just the reality of the situation because the division. And right now, I'm probably – I don't want to say shocked, but – I'm disappointed, not that they care if I am, but I had Cleveland Stone. They were going to win the division for me. And
is Cleveland one of the biggest disappointments so far this season?
Yeah, I hate the dust. I hate the
but
words.
But no, this is a 6-0 roster.
This is one of the top five rosters in the league.
Yes.
Oh, I'm talking about AFC or NFC. So
no doubt.
Yes, there is no doubt. That for me, and it's kind of a backhanded compliment to them because I expect so much from them and elevation from all different players and the coaching staff and everything.
Hell yeah, it's disappointing. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be disappointing to me if I thought they were a 500 team or a 9-8 team in a 17-game schedule. I have this team as an 11-win team and grinding possibly out of 12th and being one of those teams that is battling for a bye week. It doesn't look like it's going to happen now, but we're still in October. We've still got time, but they've got to play better, and they can't be consistently inconsistent. So, yeah, hell yes. Yeah. As a compliment or however you want to take it, they're disappointing because roster says one loss, maybe, or undefeated, and it's, you're not going undefeated, but production says struggling to make the playoffs, and that can't be the case.
Right.
Sean Salisbury with us, former NFL quarterback. Sean, when you look at the, you mentioned Tom Brady before. This week, he's playing against Justin Fields. It's the biggest age gap between starting quarterbacks in the history of football.
Right.
I can't say enough. Like, I got to be honest, I was never a big Brady guy, and I like him more that he's on Tampa Bay because I can't stand Bill Belichick, and so I rooted against him when he's on the Patriots. But I kind of like him now that he's on Tampa Bay finally after all these years. And I don't think you can keep overstating enough how absurd it is that he – because I thought towards the end of his New England career, to me, to my eye, and my eye's not as good as your eye, but to my eye, it looked like his play was declining a little. Not a lot, but a little. But now he looks as good as he's ever been, and it's ridiculous. And you can't talk about it enough how ridiculous it is.
The one season, Bull, that I think that you're talking about, too, is, and then people kind of make, when it's one season, we kind of think, well, is it three or four? Is
right.
When he was babysitting a bunch of guys who didn't know how to run a 12-yard
throw
route, right?
That's true.
A dig route. But I get the optics. I'm with you. But and this isn't a pat on the back, but you know why? His legs have never gone. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. The fastball's always been there. And late, in that one season, last season in New England, missed a shallow crosser. And I was shocked. I think it was Edelman on a shallow crosser late in the game in a playoffs. He threw it behind him. And I'm like, that's not Brady. What's wrong? But you gather yourself. He goes back to work. One of the big reasons why, well, we know about his mental toughness and his grind and physically, that's been well documented. Guys, I'm just telling you, I've studied it, and I don't know much, but I do study the position for guys that are a lot better than me. And his mechanics, and I didn't say robotics, although it feels robotic to others, his mechanics, well, Dustin, I know you golf. Bull, I don't know if you do, but
you think Bull golfs, Shawnee? Come on now.
I'm proud of that weight loss. He's getting out. He's going to be shooting like 68 sooner than later, man.
One of these days.
Bull, Iron Byron, when they test golf clubs and test golf balls, that Iron Byron that goes back and through, it's the golf testing robot.
Yeah,
That's Brady. And I used to, Norv Turner used to talk about this, and a coach on Dallas Cowboys staff. When Troy Aikman would drop back to pass, every imprint in the ground was exactly in the same spot every day, all the time in practice, and they grinded on it. His mechanics are the best I've ever seen. So when everybody else is kind of going haywire, he's already got the mental aspect, and he also knows when you get to a certain point physically that you can't do it anymore. That's mentally usually when the light switch goes on. You're like, I know all this. And now the physical and the mental match. He's still throwing at 94. His mechanics are great. His body, he actually moves better than he did 10 years ago because he's worked on that quick first step burst. He slides the pocket. He's got the mental aspect. And mechanically, guys, when things are going haywire, we have a tendency for mechanics to break down. You drop out of arm slot or you overstride. He doesn't. His mechanics, just the knee bend, all the things that we take for granted that are like building the foundation of a house. He doesn't build his mechanics on grass or on sand. He's built it on a solid stone steel foundation, and it sustains him. And he's never he's always feels like he's hungry. He's eaten, but he doesn't feel like he's eaten enough, and that's something to be said. It is fascinating, and Justin Fields is not going to beat him. He's going to beat him and send another lesson to another guy. That he is the greatest football player that we've ever had in the league.
It's remarkable. Sean, great stuff as always, man. We appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah,
hang
in there, guys.
Thank you, Sean.
Get one this week. I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
You're the best, man.
And Bull, congratulations. Keep it up, brother.
Thanks, man. I appreciate
that. Thanks, Sean.
There you go. Sean Salisbury, AM 790 in Houston.